This is a May Luna Media production. You're listening to Love, Light, and Black Holes. I'm your host, Morgan Garza, here to remind you of your disco ball soul so you can dance with your darkness. If you're sick of love and light spirituality like I was, you're in the right place. We keep it real, go deep, and give voice to your shadow so your light shines even brighter. Enter the void. Here we go, Shame Slayers and Shadow Sparklers, another week of deep dives, deep thoughts, and deep truths. So here's what I've been sitting with all week, because it is something that has been coming up that I've realized and had one of those breakthrough moments where, you know, they talk about in therapy, like, oh, this is a huge breakthrough, but this just was happening in my own mind, and it's uncomfortably true. And again, I know I'm not alone on this, so we're speaking to it. I'm not afraid of failing. I'm afraid of what happens when everything actually works. When my body heals, when all of this blows up, when my second book is a bestseller and I'm touring the world and speaking on stages. And when I can't hide behind healing anymore. And I kind of touched on this in a few episodes ago on how I discovered that I was addicted to healing. But who am I after this? And this huge identity shift that I'm having this year, which I know that so many of you are too, because 2025 is just serving it up with identity shifts and crumbles and who the fuck am I and what am I doing? And all of these questions are running through our minds. So I know that you are feeling this too. But on the micro level, it's safe to be small. It's safe to contract. And because you are in this place of, oh, well, this is familiar that I'm just going to stay here. And we've talked about this, the familiarity of the comfort of where you are instead of the uncomfortable unknown, the beauty of the unknown, another episode that we recorded or I recorded a couple weeks ago. There's so much in this micro that wants to keep you in this place exactly where you are. But the macro is knowing your soul is orchestrating expansion on a cosmic timeline that you can't outrun and you can't even imagine how big it's going to get. But it's also terrifying to think about because that means that everything has to change. And this is the part that no one wants to admit. You're not really afraid of failing. You're terrified of meeting of the version of you who can no longer hide. And you know that Marianne Williamson line, the one that gets quoted at every graduation and was misattributed to Mandela for like 20 years. Preface, I am not a big Marianne Williamson fan. She kind of gives me the creeps, and I heard a lot of terrible things come out about her when she was running for president. But credit where credit is due, am I right? It goes a little something like this. Our deepest fear isn't that we're inadequate, it's that we're powerful beyond measure. And this is the first time I heard someone name what I was living, but I didn't really understand it at the time, and I rejected it kind of like I've talked about how I rejected shame as the shadow of desire when I first heard it, and I was like, fuck that, I'm not ashamed of what I desire. And then I was like, oh shit, ego took a back seat. My soul came in and really spoke the truth, and now I get it. And this is the same with this. I didn't realize that I was afraid of how powerful I was and how I could be bigger, but it wasn't actually that power that I was afraid of. Now I'm coming to realize it was the version of me who has to die to allow that powerful person to come in. And I didn't really understand that until it was in my body, until I watched the ways I pulled back from my own healing, my own expansion, my own power. Not because I was afraid I'd fail, but because I subconsciously knew I would succeed. And that meant that things would change, relationship dynamics would change. I was afraid that I would then be rejected and judged and misinterpreted for the success that is inevitable that I am envisioning my life going towards. And this happened to me this year. When my dad died, I've talked about this a bit, but I was in this liminal space where everything was possible. I was literally psychic. I was so attuned to the world around me, the world within me, and I got really into Joe Dispenza because I bought my dad these Joe Dispenza books to help him through his cancer journey, which he didn't get around to reading. So I started reading them when he died. And one of the books specifically was You Are the Placebo or The Placebo Effect. And it is the time that I decided to go all in. I was like, fuck it, what else do I have to lose? I have an 11 centimeter fibroid, which is like roughly the size of a small cantaloupe, a really big grapefruit. And I'd already had surgery to remove them. They came right back. So I knew that I wasn't addressing the root problem. And when my dad died, I had this fearlessness. And so I dove right in. I got into my subconscious. I was meditating multiple times a day. I was having these huge emotional reactions when I was meditating. I was crying. I would be covered in chills. I would have like these full body visceral reactions meditating. And my fibroid shrunk. Like it's so big that I could see it when I was lying down. It's a big hump in my lower abdomen. And after meditating, it went away. And now even digging around in my abdomen, I couldn't really find it. My periods changed and everything changed. And then I stopped. At the moment, I recognized what I was doing. I realized that I was shrinking my fibroid. I realized that I was changing my body with my mind. I realized that I was like literally physically changing my body with my thoughts. And then I stopped. Like I turned the faucet off. And along with that, my liminal space died too. The space that I was really moving through and walking between worlds, that connection, like the portal closed. And I stopped meditating and I went back into old habits and I slipped back into old ways of being that I swore up and down, left and right when my dad died that I wouldn't go back to because I knew that it wasn't good for me. So why did I do this? It wasn't because I was like, oh, I'm so powerful. That's scary. I thought it was at first, but really more subconsciously, more deeply, more in the shadow side of things, that was unfamiliar. And so let's back up, because when I had this realization, it required me to have an identity shift. It required me to realize that if I am this capable of healing my body in this way, of bringing myself back into homeostasis and health, what does that mean? That means that everything is going to change. That means that I'm actually going to become pregnant. That means that I'm actually going to have children. That means that I'm actually going to have to be a mom and go to soccer practice and make lunches and change diapers and all of these things that, like, theoretically I want because I want to be a mother. But in reality, like, do I want to not work from home in my PJs and have this nice, quiet, comfortable life all day? Like, I was challenged with the reality of what I wanted, threatening the reality of where I was. And maybe this is something you've experienced too. Maybe you are in the precipice of getting something that you really, really want, and then you retract, you sabotage, you go back into old ways of being because you see that that is going to require change. And whether you consciously think about that requiring you to have an identity shift and identity death, which is another podcast episode that I recorded, whether you realize that or not, that's what I realized was actually happening. And it's not that I was afraid of my power. I was afraid of the success that would come and the change that that would require me to step up into and claim. So this has been something that I've been playing with all year, like asking myself the deep inner question of like, why did I stop? Why did I see that it was working, that my fibroid was shrinking, that my body was changing, that I was literally mentally and physically able to change my state of health, my physical tissues? Why did I see that and then stop? I have been so hard on myself all year asking myself this question, trying to figure it out, and it finally hit me that it meant that I was required to change, that everything that I wanted was on the other side of this identity death. And this identity death that I'm going through, which probably same for you, is non-negotiable this year. Like, I don't have a choice in what's happening. It's just happening. And this is a 9-year. This is the snake you're shedding. We've talked about this multiple times on the podcast. If you are new here, please go back to the episode entitled 2024. Astrology forecast, because we get into it, and this year is unprecedented. But I know that I'm not alone in this, and I know that when I've come to this realization that it has helped me realize that, yes, maybe touching that power was a bit scary because it's like, oh shit. But then it was also like, well, if I'm capable of this, then what else have I been holding myself back from? And that thought alone, that how have I been sabotaging myself? How have I been keeping myself small? Was like too much to handle. It was like way too far away from my comfort zone of calling myself out and in, which I'm clearly passionate about, but it was too much. And so I retracted, I retreated, I stopped meditating, I went back into dis-ease, And I started doing things that kept me in these patterns that I don't want to be in these states of health that I know are not good for me and are not going to lead to fertility or just like keeping blood in my body, a of all. So maybe you're afraid of your power. Maybe you're afraid of the things that have to change if you do actually embrace how powerful you are. Or maybe you're just really trying to figure out, like, what is your block? Why are you holding yourself back? And maybe that Marianne Williamson quote really resonates with you. Maybe you love her. And maybe this is when you realize, like, oh shit, it is my light that I'm afraid of. And my darkness is just masquerading as the one that I am meant to fear. So wherever you're at in that spectrum, let's look at signs that you might be afraid of your power or of changing or of shifting or of the identity death that is going to be required of you if you do actually want to get to where you want to go. So you keep fixing yourself instead of actually living in it. You choose healing over expression. You get busy instead of actually being present. You shrink when you're about to rise and you have this self-sabotage moment where you take yourself out of that big potential because it is scary. You wait for permission. You call it intuition, but it's fear. You choose potential over embodiment. And you hold the vision, but not the action. I have been sabotaging myself because I tasted what expansion could look like. And once I was out of that liminal space that I was in when my dad died, I became a muggle again. And I stopped so much believing in magic because I didn't see it anymore in the same way. I didn't feel it in the same way in my body. I wasn't seeing the same signs. I wasn't having the same visceral reactions and understanding that, oh shit, if I actually do stop healing, which I talked about in that episode, then who am I? Who am I without these fibroids? Who am I without this struggle and this suffering? Who am I without this grief? What is actually on the other side of that? And the other side of it was unknown. And so I contracted rather than expanded into the potential that was literally at my fingertips. Fear of power feels like procrastination, perfectionism, overthinking, panic, and needing every duck in a color-coded row. But we don't have ducks in a row. We have squirrels, and they're at a rave, and someone's puking in the toilet, and the other guy is tripping balls on the dance floor, and everyone is everywhere. So why do we do this to ourselves? The shadow side of power forces you to confront your visibility shadow, your success shadow, your leadership shadow, your intimacy shadow, your worthiness shadow, your responsibility shadow, your capacity shadow. It goes on and on and on. And there was actually a study done on this. There's multiple studies actually in this same realm, but one in particular that caught my eye was from the University of Michigan and Southern California in 2013, published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. And what they did is participants were brought into an fMRI brain scanner and asked to do one deceptively simple thing: imagine themselves in the future, and specifically a dramatically improved future self. They were guided to picture having their dream career, feeling emotionally stable, being healthy and confident, being super rich and financially abundant, and living as the person they wish they were. So it wasn't just a, you know, picture yourself next week or 5 years into the future. It was like a very specific level up of who they were. And the researchers compared the brain activity from imagining your current self, imagining a slightly improved self, imagining a radically upgraded future self, and imagining someone else entirely. And what they discovered, and this is huge, when people imagined a slightly improved future self, the brain responded normally. It was like, yeah, we can see that happening. But when they imagined a dramatically improved version of themselves in the future, the amygdala lit up and the threat response fired. The brain reacted as if they were in danger. So this means your brain interprets dramatic self-improvement as a threat, not because you're afraid of success, but because the identity change means psychological danger to the ego. the improved future self looked neurologically similar to imagining a stranger stepping into an unknown territory, facing physical risk or danger, emotional vulnerability, and identity instability. This is insane. The brain treats the future self like an unknown person you're not sure you can trust, who is going to mug you and take all of your money and leave you beaten and broken on the road in the middle of the rain. This is physical. This is science. So the brain does this. Why? Because the amygdala is not the fear center, it's the uncertainty center. It fires when something is unfamiliar, when a change feels unpredictable, when the identity feels unstable and the stakes feel way too high. The nervous system just simply can't map what's coming next. It can't predict. And the brain is a prediction machine. And the ego keeps us, quote unquote, safe from anything that feels like a threat to itself. So when people imagine a more expanded, powerful, thriving version of themselves, the brain literally goes, we don't know them. They haven't been tested. That's unsafe. Retreat, contract, stop doing whatever you're doing that's taking us in that direction because it is unsafe. So that's why people retreat just as things start improving, like I did. Why consistency feels scary. Why you stop doing what was working and go back into familiar patterns that aren't actually where you want to be. And this is why you self-protect instead of self-expand, because you're unconsciously recreating old patterns that feel safe to the brain, to the ego, to the nervous system, to all of the things that we want to help move into expansion to hold a bigger capacity for where we're actually going. So we're not afraid of our power. We're afraid of what happens if the healing works. What happens if we become the one who does the thing? What happens if we stop hiding behind this wound, this grief, this pain, this story? Because what happens when no one saves us because we saved ourselves? We have to confront a reality that we have never been in before. And what happens when we become too powerful to be palatable? We think that we are going to lose everyone and everything. And so we stay small. We fear change more than anything. So stop running from your bigness. You're not afraid of failing, and you're not afraid of your power. You're afraid of change. You're afraid that if it works, you'll be unstoppable and you'll lose everything that you currently have and know and are. But like, isn't that kind of the point? Like, yes, of course, we don't want to bulldoze important, meaningful, loving relationships, but we do want to bulldoze old parts of ourselves that are just like, just bullshit. Just making us sick of our own shit. We do want change. We do want to move into something that we have never experienced before. Like that thrill of visiting a new city for the first time that you've heard incredible things about, and you step out of your hotel or Airbnb or wherever on that first day and you are just full of curiosity and potential and excitement and wonder and this just childlike desire to play and explore. Why can't we apply that same mentality to our lives, to ourselves, to our future selves? Why do we want to stay stuck where we are rather than take the risk, take the leap? I have been playing with this idea and misnaming it as being afraid of my power for too long. And while I've been ruminating on the reason why I stopped meditating when I realized that I was shrinking my fibroid, part of me was like, well, it's working, so I'm good. And that's the like surface level excuse that I told myself. It was working, so I stopped, and then it didn't work, and I didn't do it long enough, right? I didn't do it long enough to actually experience the full circle healing that Joe Dispenza talks about and that so many people in his testimonials experience from this neuroplasticity. But also, deeper, I was afraid that I would actually have to do the thing that I was trying to do, give birth, be a mother, change my entire cozy, comfy, well-adjusted lifestyle, that all of this money that I have now would be spent on diapers and daycare and toys and an extra seat on a flight, you know, like all of these things that I want, but do I really want them in the way that I have told myself, because this requires me to change absolutely every single thing about my life? It's been a mind fuck, y'all. It has been something that I have been grappling with this entire year, and it just finally clicked because I did it again. Because I experienced this massive gut healing over the summer working with naturopathic doctors, and I was really good on my regimen. And honestly, like, it's exhausting to do all of the things that I was doing for my health. It was a part-time job. It was constant and all day, and I had a schedule and a regimen that I had to follow to a T. But what I talked about in my Addicted to Healing episode was that, like, that was actually also very stressful and perpetuating the problem, because stress is a way bigger problem than, like, all of the other things combined. And if I'm stressed and I'm also trying to heal and I'm stressed about healing, then, like, really it's a moot point and it's a wash and I'm probably doing more harm than good. But what I really came to the conclusion of was I didn't just get tired of doing it. I wasn't just lazy. I was not wanting to allow the identity shift that was required of me to go to where I wanted to go to actually happen. So this is huge, and I hope that you're getting something out of this as I'm spilling my guts every week on this podcast. Because this is how we shift, because I'm calling myself out and in so that you can do the same and you can come to these same conclusions in your life and start realizing how you're actually holding yourself back and not just repeating this spiritual jargon that we hear all of the time. And like, these are actual real world examples of this in play, of this being experienced by someone who isn't on a stage talking about this theoretically. I am here in my lived experience sharing this with you because it is so powerful for me that I know I'm not alone in this, and I know that there is something to be gained from this massive revelation that I've just had. And if there's any time to do it, it's 2025. I mean, it's December 2025 right now. So if you're listening to this in real time, we are at the end of a 9-year, which is the end of a cycle. The last time we had a 9-year was 2016. So think back to what was ending, what closed, what finished, what crumbled, what was ripped away in 2016. And then think about 2017 to 2025, because this is the beginning of a whole new cycle that is now ending. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Y'all know I love this quote. This is the end of that 9-year cycle. We're moving into a 1 year in 2026. It's also the year of the fire horse in Chinese astrology. It's also us moving out of all of this really messy, tumultuous 0-degree energy with all of the outer planets changing signs into something that is going to last for literal generations. We are setting a whole new framework. So while you're in this crumble, while you're in the end of this year, at the end of this 9-year cycle, at the end of this snake year of shedding and rebirth and death, what are you not bringing with you? I for sure as fuck am not bringing with me this idea that I'm afraid of what I actually want, that my shame is the shadow of desire. I have shame around what I want because I am afraid that I'm going to actually have to do it. How silly is that? I want something so deeply in my bones, in my body. Another book to be a bestseller, a baby, a family, to live somewhere that I walk out of my door and I'm inspired by. I want these things, but that means that everything that I know right now changes. It ends. It shifts in a way that it will never be again. And just like losing my dad was the scariest thing that I was watching happen, and when it did, I gained him in a new way. Like, yes, are you kidding? Of course. I want to pick up the phone and talk to him about all of the things and hear his voice and share my life and have him give me the sage advice that he did my entire life. I can't do that, not in the same way, but I can open myself up to receive signs from him when I really need him. And I can deepen into my own wisdom, into my own knowledge, into everything that he has taught me and encoded me with over my lifetime, over my 39 years, and get that from myself. Because he never told me something I didn't already know. I just needed to hear it from him. And so that relationship changed, and everything that I knew ended. But I'm still here, and I'm still moving through this, and I'm still allowing myself to be totally and completely and utterly open to the ways that he wants to communicate with me. So why can't I do that with everything else? Why don't I apply that same energy, that same openness, that same willingness, that same curiosity into all of the things that I've just mentioned, into how I can heal my body, into how I can balance my adrenals, into how I can keep blood in my body so that all of the other functions can function, the conjunction junction, what's your function? And so that my gut doesn't sabotage my brain. There are so many things that I can do, but that requires me to move into a life that I've never had before, into a reality that I've never seen, that I've never experienced in this way. Yes, of course, I have the experience of life pre-fibroids and having a perfect period and having fertility and just being super chill in all of the ways, but that wasn't with all of the life experience that I have now that has changed me for sure on a cellular level, on a neurological level, on an everything level. So this is my proposal to you. Identify what it is that you want and all of the ways that you're scared shitless of getting it. All of the ways that you're gonna have to change to become that person that has it. Because I guarantee you're not afraid of having it. You're not afraid of the power that you're going to have when you have it. You're afraid of what that power means, of what it might change, of the people that it might shift in your life, of the ways that your life is going to be different because of it. You're not afraid of your power, like Marianne Williamson said. You're not afraid of your darkness either. You're afraid of what it means. Of what is it's going to require of you to face it. Either way, dark or light. So think about what you want and how it scares you. Because your power is steady. It's not something to be feared. It's the change that shakes you to your core. Message me and let me know how this lands. I love hearing from you. I've gotten some amazing emails, some episode requests that I'm going to be weaving in. So thank you for those. Keep them coming. You can DM me on Instagram. You can shoot me an email. Thank you so much for allowing me to share this with you and for coming back with such beautiful and thoughtful and vulnerable responses, because this is how we all shift and change together. I'll see you next week. Love, light, and black holes. Thanks for diving into the void with me. If today lit something up in you or cracked something open, follow the show and leave a review so we can magnetize more shame slayers and shadow sparklers into this world. Want more? Step through the portal at lovelightandblackholes.com. That's where the wild magic lives. Until next time, dance with your darkness like it's your favorite song, and watch the whole universe light up.